This is the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. I'm Britt, your show host. Got a good episode for you today. Kevin Touch, he does Touch Talk Radio, a lot of Instagram stuff, reached out to me, wanted to do an interview. So this is just our conversation. He called me and we documented this. He'll be pushing it out on his platforms as well. So big shout out to Kevin Touch. If you want to go over and check him out, again, Touch Talk Radio, or you can find him on Instagram, Kevin Touch, T-O-U-C-H. So again, this is just my interview. He asks some small business questions, some stuff around leadership, mentorship, and then just given the context of the conversation, some very light overarching lawn care stuff. So I don't really get in too deep into the actual specifics of it, but he does ask some questions for his audience just to get better background of what we do and how somebody might better help their lawn. So you'll hear that in there as well, but there's also some good leadership stuff. Briefly, I try to wrap up my story. I know we needed to keep it short to respect his time. So I give a very, very brief overview of our company history, our story, our kind of come up to where we are now. So I am going to, in one of the future episodes, we've been asked by a few people just to tell our story and our journey a little more in detail. So we will be doing that in the future. Just telling, hey, this is when we got started. This is how we marketed. This is how many clients we had. This is kind of what we had to do to sacrifice to win. And then also, as usual, we'll be documenting those episodes right now as we're going through the ups and downs, because we're still in it just like you guys. We don't ever feel like we've arrived. We definitely haven't arrived. We've still got a lot of hurdles and stuff that we're going around, going over, jumping through. You guys know how that is. So, but main thing for this podcast, I want you guys to feel like you're not alone. I know small business owners, they go through a lot. I mean, we talk about it in this episode. It's personal, it's business, it's all intertwined, and you can feel isolated. And we don't want you guys to feel like that. We want you to feel like you're equipped. You're getting leadership and business advice on a weekly basis from us. So reach out to us. DM me at Lawn Care Leaders, or you can even email me. That's lawncareleader@gmail. I don't know everything, but I can tell you things where we've lost, things where we've won, and what we're going through right now. So hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll be back with you guys soon.
That better?
Hello.
Finally,
man.
Yeah, what? Sorry about that, man. I don't know what they did with the.
Dude, don't be sorry. I don't know what's going on. I can hear you okay, though. Can you hear me?
At least that's safe. Yeah, it's clean. I can hear it crystal clear. Yep.
Perfect, man. Perfect. What's going on?
Not much, bro. A lot has changed since we last talked on Anchor, man. It's been forever.
I know, bro. I know. I've been busy. I see you're doing big things and always making it happen on social media. Tell me, I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but where are you from? What are you about? What's kind of your goals with everything?
Yeah, man. No, so I'm from the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
So right down here. If you know the show Jersey Shore, that's where I'm at.
Okay.
It's pretty rowdy. So I'm pretty much with all this social media. United Promotion is my new project that I got into. It's on Instagram. I'll show you after the call what it's about. It's basically feature people.
That's cool.
And it's cool because we just get to experience new people, see what they're about, and that's help awesome. Them out. And then KTTV, I'm sure you see, that's probably the popular one.
Yeah,
that's just me, you know, spin the breeze. Finding any topic that I can, just keep producing content, because you never know what piece of content can change the world. So
yeah, man. Yeah,
that's it.
Just put it out there and keep hustling. Good stuff will happen. That's cool. That's cool. Well, you tell me how you want this to go. I usually am the one in the driver's seat, but you tell me what you need to know or where you want to guide this, and we'll head down whatever path you want.
Yeah, man, no, we're for sure. Let's just start. Like, what was the whole story about how you started Green Lawn Again?
Okay, so I was a big sports guy, like all through elementary school, junior high, high school. So all I did was play basketball.
Nice.
And I don't remember how it happened. My dad at some point was like, "Hey, you know, you got to get a job." I'm sure it was like, "Hey, I want these pair of shoes." And my dad said, "Well, you can pay for them. You need to get a job." So grabbed a push mower, his weed eater blower, all that. And I literally just went door to door. Funny story. I've always had kind of like a sales entrepreneurship mindset. That's just built into who I am. I love it. Never had an issue with that. So I literally just walked out, went door to door, started knocking doors, asking for people's business. If I could help them with their lawn care. First door I knocked, was a sweet old lady. I mean, she's sweet now. At the time she seemed grumpy, but I was like, "Hey, can I mow your lawn?" She was like, what do you want? And she said, "Well, if you can deal with me cussing a lot, I'll give you my business." And I was like, "Dottie, I don't give a shit." And she just started cracking up. And at that point, you know, when you get, I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I'm sure you've started your own companies or doing your own thing, but just that first initial high that you get when you're doing something on your own, you make some traction, you close a sale, that's you can't really replace that. So got addicted to that feeling and knew that I always wanted to run my own company. So it kind of a long journey, bouncing back and forth. I went to college, hit the corporate world, didn't like that, but praise God, I kept my mowing and landscaping clients as I was in the corporate world. So the transition back into the green industry was not that difficult. And that's when I rebranded as an actual company, as Green Again Lawn. So on the heels of the corporate world, started Green Again Lawn in 2012. Really only had like 14 accounts. Mm. And it was just my wife and I. She was still finishing school. That first year, we survived off of $16,000. So didn't have much to live off of. Anything extra that we made through the winter, like I picked up obviously winter jobs, threw that all back into the company. And that was only 7 years ago, and we've done the same thing since. We've reinvested almost 100% every year of what we make back into the company. So fast forward a little bit, after 3 years of that, we were up to about 200 clients. And then let's see here, in 2000, it would have been 2016, I brought my first guy on board, hired him. We were at 280 clients. That year we grew to 500. And then in 2018, we grew to just under 1,000 clients. And then our goal for this year is to be at 2,000 clients. So want to hit 2,000 clients and see where that takes us, man.
That's awesome. I like how you started kind of from that humble beginning atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know, just going through a neighbor and seeing what you could. And would you say even when you said you were young, you kind of had that entrepreneur mindset? Would you say as you grew older and you learned a little bit of the corporate world, would you apply anything or anything at all you learned from the corporate world to use in the business, or is it more individualistic? Yeah,
there's bits and pieces. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, as I get a more mature company, what I don't want to do or how I don't want to treat team members. But there's stuff here and there that I picked up from my general manager, or sales tactics, or little things that are true across all, you know, all points. Like he would always say, like, you have not if you ask not. So a lot of good sales motivation tactics, stuff like that will apply. But really it's just trial and error. So it's not like, right, I'm any better than anybody else. It's just I take more action, I make more mistakes, and I do that at a frantic pace that most people don't do. So inevitably I'm going to grow quicker, grow faster, and have a stronger company because I'm taking more action, making more mistakes, and learning. And when I repeat the next process, I'm learning from those mistakes, so I'm better off than I was before. I would say also back to the humble beginnings, we still live frugally, both on the personal side and the business side. I mean, yesterday we needed freaking shelves for the warehouse. We didn't go out and buy brand new shelving. We didn't order it online. We had pallets laying around, so we made shelving. And we've kind of tried to weave that into the culture as we've grown. And mm-hmm. But in the beginning, man, it was now we've branded. We have a specific niche that we cater to. But in the beginning, I kind of laugh because when I was pitching to clients, I would say, you know, but here's what we offer. But if you need your dog walked, I'll walk your dog. We're just trying to get this thing off the ground. And I really think that's what people, they get caught up in, you know, being fancy or wanting a company that they really don't have at that point. And so they're not willing to put in the work, put in the hustle, and put their nose to the grindstone in the early years to where they do have that margin to sit back and enjoy some of the benefits per se.
No, absolutely. I'm looking at your last post. I mean, you were shoveling snow for free. So, I understand the community gives back. You know, I think when you give back to the community just out of the goodwill of people, they see that. It doesn't mean money is everything, and it's not. You guys have proven that for sure.
Yeah, and so our mission statement is to grow, to serve, and to give. And so each three, I mean, it's a pillar. There's three pillars there, mm-hmm. and you've got to have a balance between all of them. To grow is to grow yourself personally, to grow our team, to grow our company, to grow our client base. Same thing with serve, to serve our clients, to serve our families, to serve our community, and then giving back. A lot of people think, oh, giving back, tithing to your church, doing mission trips, donating money. There's that, but also giving back your time, giving back your resources, giving back to your team, and then giving back to your families, because we're all out here. If you're an entrepreneur or you're a small business owner or in any sort of leadership role, you deserve to give back to yourself. You're risking more, putting more out on the line. You deserve to give back to yourself in the end. And so that's kind of our mission statement and what we live by. And giving back today meant, you know, going and shoveling snow for the community, but giving back tomorrow could mean, you know, making sure that profit check for our you know, owning the business comes in on time, something like that. But good point.
No, all about serving. Serving will never get you the wrong place. It always will steer you right. But you brought a good point. I did notice the snow. So what is the growing season like out there for the lawns and your care management? Is it more solemn in the winter, more, you know, quiet? And then does it pick up around March? I know one time I talked to you in August, it was really busy. So what's kind of the mindset?
Yeah, good question. Okay, so we're out of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. We're right on the line. We service mainly the Kansas side, but literally I can get across state line in 15, 20 minutes. So right in the Kansas City area, and we've kind of got a weird season. Like we have 6 months of pretty decent weather and then anywhere from 4 to 6 months of bad weather. So March through really September is the growing season. Mm-hmm. And then by October, November, December, things start to go dormant. So what's weird for our business is we literally in 3 months, we set our top line revenue for the entire year. So we'll market March, April, May, and then it just drops off. Either people don't care, it gets hot, they've made a decision to do it themselves, go with a different company, whatever. But those 2.5 to 3 months, I mean, we call it like the 2.5 months of hell because it's just nonstop. We set our top line revenue in that. And yeah, we'll add on like other cross selling or renovation services throughout the year. But I usually can project those based off the client base that we have come end of May.
Interesting. No, I think certain areas of the year are mm-hmm. more, you know, grind based, and there's certain ones where it all levels out.
Yeah.
Is there anything specifically that you enjoy doing other than just mowing lawns? Is there anything like aspect of it?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I mean,
planting or something?
Honestly, any aspect of lawn care I enjoy. The way my personality works, I like to be doing something different every day and I like to see progress. So for me, lawn care is perfect because sometimes if it's you're mowing a lawn, you can literally see it completed and looking good. If you're treating a lawn, doing fertilizing and weed control, you see, you know, progress over time. And then for me, it's nice to be outside meeting somebody different every day, dealing with a new customer, and even customer complaints are fun because, you know, it's a different situation, different scenario where you get to go and kind of face that challenge head on.
Interesting. And what kind of complaints do you get? Is it more like technical, or is it
just... It's all technical. So we specialize in fertilizing and weed control. And so we can't really do our job until most of the weeds come up. So if you have broadleaf weeds, we have to spray them after the fact. So a lot of times we'll spray and more persisting weeds will come up in between visits. And so we'll inevitably get those calls every year. Or somebody's got, you know, a tree and it's taking most of the moisture and they're not watering enough. You can kind of run the gamut on lawn care complaints. But we deal with those. And that's usually after marketing season, because everybody's really excited March, April, May. And then from May till about July is when we really kick into customer service mode.
Interesting. And I think we're talking about the customer complaints and you kick into that July, August mode. Those certain times it gets hot too and grass burns. And I guess for anyone out there, what's one piece of advice you would give to any lawn care who's trying to get that nice lawn to do in July, August? I know if you put the sprinkler on in the day, that's a bad move.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on what type of grass you have. In August and you have cool season grass, really you're just going to look to keep it wet. You don't want to over-fertilize because that's going to burn the lawn. Mm-hmm. But people forget it's a living, breathing organism that you're trying to keep alive. And so it has peaks and valleys. And when it starts to shut down and go dormant, it's for good reason. So it's best to keep it watered, mow less frequently, don't over-fertilize, and wait till those temperatures drop. Really, you want nighttime temperatures below 70. Once they get below 70, you can, you know, start fertilizing again. But the problem is the area we live in, everybody loves their lawn. They love to be out there. So they over-mow, they over-fertilize, and they think the more they do to it, the better it's going to be. But really, when it gets hot, you want to let the grass get as tall as you can, let the root system deepen into the soil, and that's going to keep it as healthy as possible. But Mother Nature wins, man. I mean, if we go into a drought or if it's hot, it's best just to let it go dormant, shut down, and then come back out in the fall, and it'll survive, so...
Yeah, no, I think that's – I've seen pictures on – obviously, I live in an area where it's more temperate. You know, you get that – pretty much that March area starts a little bit. You start to see perks of it. But when it's dormant, you're right, just don't touch it. You don't want – the last thing you want to do is make it burn or something, add more fire.
And if it's that bad where you're starting to lose portions of it, I mean, that's the end of summer, so you're going into fall where you can do some seeding. So you can aerate and overseed or verticut and overseed and replace all that anyways.
Absolutely. Now, back to what you're saying with the lumber, have you always lived this modest lifestyle growing up? Or is it more you inherited it as you got older?
I would say, so my parents, we didn't make a ton of money. So we've always lived kind of frugally. But in college, I became very, very intentional about learning and studying businesses who have grown to pretty crazy proportions. I studied people and somebody that I wanted to emulate, you know, so somebody who's running a faith-based company, somebody who's made it, who saved a lot of money and who's giving back. And the thing that they always talk about is it's kind of like a bamboo shoot, you know, it's really, really slow getting started. You got to sow those deep roots. But after 5 to 10 years of living like that, the numbers just go bonkers. You know, you got 5 to 10 years where it's really, really slow growth. But once you've got those fundamentals and those pillars in place with a good team around you, I mean, you can just scale from there. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, we're already seeing that in our company. We went from just my wife and I to then my wife had to take a different job to her having kids. Then I brought on my first guy. And now in our office today, we've got 8 people. Last year, we just had 2. Wow. So we're already starting to see those numbers increase. And I mean, we started in the fall of 2012. So this fall will be our 7th year. So we're kind of right on pace with those mentors and what they were telling me.
Interesting. No, I think growth is very perspective. It's perspective based on how you see it. Some people say, you know, 2 years is their target point, but yours is very modest in the sense, like your personality, it'll get there gradually. And as long as we slowly develop the team and build chemistry, things go well for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see both sides of it, but 2 year growth. I mean, if you look on social media, a lot of people are fronting what they're doing.
Right.
And the other side of it is they're playing with house money. If I was to go out and get an investor and have $2 million in investments, well, yeah, you can bet in 2 years, if I don't have an ROI and make a quick turnaround, they're going to be, you know, down my throat. But me, I've, you know, we're debt free. We've cash flow everything, slow and sustainable growth. And that's how any business that is still around, it sustains itself. I mean, I'm not looking to make a quick exit or grow this thing in 5 years and then sell it off. I'm looking to have something that's going to be dripping cash flow and providing for other people's families years into the future.
There you go. So instead, I like that pace. You just keep it. You keep that pace. You don't overextend yourself, overextend too many hands in the basket. You get there eventually, 100%.
Yeah. And I think to a lot of kids out there that are thinking about starting a company, they need to be careful of looking at Instagram. Because it's kind of death by comparison. You look at this guy and it seems like, oh my gosh, he's killing it. But really, at the end of the day, it's just like any other business. It doesn't matter how much money you put into it. If you're not making a profit or you're not, you know, seeing sustainable growth, you know, eventually it's going to collapse. So you got to build something that will last. And companies that are going out and chasing these angel investors or looking for big, you know, taking out a big loan, you're propping yourself up on a house of cards, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I talked about this in one of my podcasts. It's because there's a difference when you have your own money on the line. You fight a little harder, you work a little longer, you sleep a little less than when somebody else, you know, gives you a handout. And it's not necessarily a handout, but it's just that whole aspect of being chased by a dog when you're running down the street versus just jogging down the street on your own. You're being chased by a dog when you're using your own money.
Right. No, I think you're right. You can't, not even social, so you can't let others or even your own people, even people close to you say, well, you got to make it happen now or you got to get to this expectation. You know, that's just noise. And I think we all know that noise is good sometimes, but most of the time it's not really helping you. So you got to block it out and stay at your own pace, 100%.
Yeah. Do your own thing. I mean, everybody knows where they want to be. It's just when we, oftentimes when we get on social media, we start comparing. And I'm not saying social media does it. It's just easier to compare when you get on there. You know, before you had to actually see the guy driving the Mercedes before you envied his Mercedes. Now you can look at everybody who's got one on Instagram and you can immediately change your perspective and viewpoints on how quick you're going. And also, I mean, circling back around to what you're saying about success, yes, you want to set goals. Yes, you want to hit them. But ultimately, if your head hits the pillow and you know every day you gave it 110%, that's what success looks like. 100%. And you do that over a sustained period of time. We always say hard work over time multiplied by God, that's success. And so that's what we're aiming for. We're trying to work hard over a period of time and allow God to reward us and see where he wants us to take it.
100%. No, you just think that, oh, he's got all this stuff or they had all this stuff. But sometimes people are the most happiest when they put in 110% and are being led to the right direction. So you're absolutely right on that for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess another point I would like to make, is there any speaking of social, is there any influencers you know that just really stand out and have impacted you in your life?
Social media influencers. I mean, I'll give you the people that I'm following. I do a lot of podcasts, especially last year.
It could be anybody offline too, any influence at all.
Okay. So I've got, you know, my personal mentors in my life. But I would say as far as online, I follow the Entree Leadership Podcast, which is really, really good if you're a small business owner. Benham Brothers Weekly Studies, which is a devotional series.
obviously follow Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yep.
That dude's a legend. We do. They just rebranded. It was the Profit First podcast, but it's now the Entrepreneurship Elevated podcast with Mike Michalowicz. And those few ones for me, I mean, I get all the material I need to kind of stay motivated and right. make sure my business is headed in the right direction. So if some of your listeners are out there starting a business, going through a business, feel alone, all of those are really, really good resources.
It's good.
We've all also, I mean, if you've got, I don't know how many listeners actually do lawn care, but we've got our own podcast, Lawn Care Leaders. So mm-hmm. they can hop on there, listen to, we do interviews with other industry leaders. But we also just document some kind of raw material of our day-to-day activities and leadership talks as well.
It's good. But no, I think those influences will lead to some one day. And you just never know. You just never know what you'll pick up on, especially podcasts, because it's so informational and informative that you can use to your own material. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gary Vee talks about this a lot. I kind of felt it because I was able to do two things at once. So intuitively I knew that that's what was happening, but audio, I think in the next 5 to 10 years is going to take off because you can do multiple things at the same time. I mean, for me, I was on a riding spreader, riding sprayer, would have a podcast in, was able to be efficient on that and pay attention while also internalizing a lot of really, really good business knowledge through podcasts. So I think audio is going to be huge. So glad to see you're doing big things in the audio world, man.
No, absolutely. Audio is the future. I mean, Anchor, after all, it just got Spotify.
Yeah, they just got bought up by Spotify.
Yes, that's huge, man. So I think good things are ahead. I think the world will be more towards audio rather than a video, in my opinion, in 5, 10 years. And same with you, because it's just the fact that you have to look over to the screen and you could be on the car. It's hard to do. So audio will be there for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, if you don't mind, you can keep asking me questions. Hit me with what you're up to with some Instagram stuff. I know you were on Anchor a lot in the beginning. What are you doing over on Instagram video now?
Yeah, so IG video. Yeah, so IG video is basically I'm going to do challenges from now on, especially on KTTV. Yeah, promotion, that's all features. And it's great to do that, but the video stuff will be more on KTTV. I'll be basically doing just any topic that comes to my mind why I think there's a different perspective on it than what most people think. And I think it's good. You know, hit those different elements. There's different age groups. There are different perspectives in life. So I think it's good for me to tackle that because some people might have questions. I'll occasionally go Instagram live. Why not? You know, just get on there and just document, explain what I'm doing. Connect with people, man, for sure.
That's cool, man. That's cool, bro. Tell me, how long did it take you before you started to gain traction? I know a lot of people think they're going to hop on and be influencers right away. You've been doing this, it seems like a while. How long have you been doing it? How long before you even started to feel like you got some traction from it?
Yeah, so the KTTV, I would say, when did I start? Whenever IGTV came out, so I'm trying. Oh, yeah, last June. So actually, it hasn't been too long. But it seems like it's been a while. But no, last June I started. I would say I gained traction somewhere after I left vacation. So sometime around August last year when I got back. I don't really care for the number. But for me, I started to notice when I started to put out different content and video content especially.
Yeah.
It just seemed to click. So I kind of was playing well, didn't really do much as far as video content last year, other than IGTV, which is separate.
Okay.
But then I noticed that, let me do a DM chat, which is I'm going to DM every follower who follows. And it actually worked. Like, I actually did the whole thing. You can check on my stories. And I DM'd 450, whatever amount of people.
Yeah.
And people are like, nah, there's no way. You can't do that. And I'm like, no, I did. No spam. Didn't get reported. And I noticed something there. Like, that clears the slate for everybody. So if I haven't reached out to you in like 6 months, I just did this DM challenge. It's free game to collaborate with anybody. That's when I reassured myself. All right, well, now I'm on even playing ground. I could always reach out to them. Yeah. And most of the time, I would say per week, I tag at least 40 to 70 to 80 followers in my post. I try to get that many people in because everyone's included. I don't like excluding anybody. So if you really build the community and you really put the time in, the time will basically be, in return for me, is a satisfaction of people being happy. That's all I need, man. Like, I don't think I need to really just go, you know, above and beyond. So, well, you know what? Let me spend every 2 seconds doc. I don't think you need to do that. For me, I do it at leisure, but I do that to that quiet, confident, silent way of saying, I don't have to be on here 24/7. One post with 20 people being tagged, hey, that's time worth spent. So you got to really manage the time. And I guess for anybody out there, it's rare too. Sometimes you don't really expect to get that big numbers, but if you really work at it, it can take up to like less than a year, or it could take 10 years. See, that's the beautiful thing. It depends how much time you're willing to put in, but also how much smart time you're willing to put in. You can make 3,000 posts, but there's no engagement and you're not really giving back.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. But if you put in like 10 quality posts, excuse me, over the quantity, you'll see the reaps of reward.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think too many people are looking at the scoreboard of how many likes do I have, how many followers, how many subscribers. But I love what you said, that you're DMing every one of the people that follows you, because it's more depth in the beginning rather than width. I mean, you can't really everybody wants to expand width and have their own personal brand and branch out into this, when instead, you know, they're not engaging with the few followers that they do have. Just like our clients. I mean, when we brought clients on board, those first few clients, I mean, we treated them like gold. I mean, it was a lot of depth. I knew them. I knew their kids. I knew their dogs' names. I mean, I was there for them, whatever they needed. So that says a lot. And yeah, the community aspect of it is huge. You got to always want to be adding value and care more about them than what you think that you're going to get out of it.
100%.
I think a lot of people have that in reverse.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, I think too many people, I see too many people be like, well, let me just try to hack the system, or let me use 1,000 hashtags, and it doesn't work like that. I mean, it shouldn't work like that. Or they try to, you know the old
saying. Or you pay for followers. Yeah. You know, you pay for followers, and then they've got like one comment. So,
my gosh, man, I hate those kind of things, because it gets to the point where, like, well, are you really here? You're just trying to waste my time. You know, why should I engage with you? I mean, sometimes I'll do it back though. Like, I know you're a robot. It's like, I'll have one of these cheesy things where I'll see your name. Let's say your name is, I don't know, Mark or something, Mark 8217. I'll think of cheesy wordplay saying, thanks, Mark. Hopefully you used that 8217 somewhere else.
Exactly.
You just troll them back. And
like, or like, something. I just posted a picture and it was like, fantastic photograph. And it was like a stock image that I put a microphone over and put some verbiage on. I was like, man, they're spitting that out to everybody. It cracks me up. But yeah, I always respond to those because I think they're funny.
Oh yeah, I get a laugh out of them too. I mean, I understand they're trying to, you know, have someone do their thing, but at the same time, it's like, we can snip that out. You can't be fake on here anymore. I mean, you would have got away with that when it first came out 7 years. I can't believe it was 7 years ago Instagram came out. So now you can't. We can snip that out a mile away. And I think for anyone new, like kids, if you're trying to do that stuff, you'll get snipped at too. So it's important just to keep being authentic and use your common sense. We can't lose common sense in this day and age. I know it's becoming easier to lose it with attention spans becoming less and all that, but we can't lose.
You have to add value. I mean, if you're on there for yourself, like you said, people are going to sniff it out, but the people that win, the people that do have a lot of followers or are monetizing through other platforms,
right?
They're adding value. They scale because they're adding more value than anyone else. The richest people in the world just found out a way to help more people than you did. So I think approaching it from the aspect that, hey, I'm on here. If I want to build a community, I need to add value. Even if you never want to monetize, if you just want to use it to gain a following or credibility on a different platform, you have to add value in some form or fashion.
And it's okay to just use this as a leveraging start. I think that's the beautiful thing about this, is you don't have to make this your all to end all on social. I mean, most of the time, most people I see do is they only have one specific platform where they go all heavy, and the rest they do a little bit, just a little bit enough, And, yeah. then they build up at that one. So there's no perfect play to execute to get it right. There's so many playbooks to try. And yeah, and that's the beautiful thing is you can be flexible in what you play.
Oh yeah, yeah. And with social media, the ease of entry and the ability to pivot and transfer what you're doing to another platform is awesome. So
absolutely,
super,
man.
Super simple from that perspective.
No, I appreciate you just taking a little break there to just get our thoughts on social. If anyone else has any comments, for sure. But I guess we'll go back to you. We'll do a couple more, and then we'll end it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, what is one quote you live by that really just sums up not just the law business, but your life, that you just stuck with it and it really can maybe help somebody out there, you know, going through this?
I would say if you're starting a business, we really try to live by always do more than you get paid for. Mm-hmm. That covers a broad spectrum of things. That covers business ethics. That covers adding value. That covers scalability. If you're doing more than you get paid for, you over-deliver to the customer, you're always going to be in a good position. And you're always going to have leverage with that client, and you're going to create margin in your life to be able to do things that you couldn't before. Mm-hmm. I would also say we're a faith-based company, so we always strive to live biblically centered lives. So we've got verses that we live by. I would say the main one that I probably preach to our team and our family is everything you do, do to the glory of God. That yet again kind of goes back to always do more than you get paid for. Because if you're doing something and it's a menial task, all the way down to being a janitor, sweeping the floor, you know, cleaning windows, whatever it is, if you're doing it for a higher purpose, a higher calling, if you're doing it for God, and even if, I mean, I'm sure you've got a ton of listeners who aren't believers, if you do it for a bigger why, something that's bigger than yourself, your net score is going to end up better in the long run. So I live by that a lot. And then one thing for people taking risks is margin. I preach it a lot, but I say this all the time, and I've got it written down. Margin is the space that you give yourself to take opportunities of things that you can't yet see. So margin is the space in your life that you create to take advantage of opportunities that you can't yet see. And I think so many people live paycheck to paycheck. They live looking at what needs done Friday, what bills need paid by next Monday. And they're not taking enough action to create enough margin to take care of those future opportunities. Does that make sense?
No, it is interesting because some people do that. They have that lifestyle of like, let's live for Friday or let's live for something. They don't actually, not that they're actually forgetting it, they just forget that their why, and they start to become, well, how can this get done at a certain time? Or what needs to be done? I forgot. Well, why did I get here in the first place? So I understand what you're saying for sure.
Yeah, and you have to. I mean, you have to take action. I'm not just sitting here hypothesizing and thinking about what would be nice and how to create margin. I mean, I'm the guy that's literally going to be going door. I have 8 people on the team. I'm going to be going and knocking doors and handing out brochures, and I take action every single freaking day. And that's how I create margin. I'm not just sitting here thinking about what would be nice to do.
Absolutely. Action creates execution. You know, that's the ACE method, everyone says. I couldn't agree more with that, because the more you can create the action, it feels good, first off. And number two, you know you're prospering in the right direction for the sake of what you want.
Yeah, we're meant to be taking action, being in motion, meeting people. That's when good things happen.
Absolutely, and that's when things spark, too. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll do one more here. What is one fun fact about either yourself or the business that my audience may not know?
Let's see here. I would say we've touched on this a lot, so I'll stay on the topic. We haven't raised our personal income for the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. And this, I think 2019 will be the first year we do.
Wow.
That's been seven years in the business, and last 4 we haven't increased personal income.
Wow. And that takes a lot of, you know, discipline.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are just like, I want more, but the fact that you stay disciplined, humble like that, it gives you that leverage that most people don't.
When you have more, you use more. one of our podcasts had Mike McAllowitz of Profit First, and he talks about that Parkinson's law. If you have a resource, you'll use it up to the full amount. He talks about like a tube of toothpaste. If you have a full tube, you're going to use it all. When you get down to that last little bit, you know, you squeeze out as much as you can, and that's just like your income. If you make 40 grand 1 year, next year you make 50, somehow you find a way to spend that 50 grand. So making sure that you're earmarking those numbers and allocating those funds to better your business and better yourself instead of just using that resource because of Parkinson's law, that's going to put you further down the road.
Resourcefulness and margins, man. That's true. Just keep doing that and good things happen, especially when it comes to just being patient. Just do those three things and you go from there. Yeah.
You're the man.
There you go, man. Anyway, before we go, you want to plug your social so people can find you?
Yeah. They can find me. So we'll do a couple here at Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. Mm-hmm. Or you can search Green Again Lawn. It's actually green_again_lawn. Both of those are on Instagram. They can follow my personal page on Twitter. It's just at B Dowd. So that's BDOWD 32 on Twitter. Then we're also on Facebook. That's under our podcast name as well. That's Lawn Care Leaders Podcast on Facebook.
Awesome. I'll put those definitely in the links. So I thank you to Britt and the Green Lawn Again community out there. Always stay humble, stay modest, guys out there. For anyone trying to start, just remember margins, being resourceful, and we'll go from there. Britt, it's been a pleasure, man.
Hey, thank you, sir. Keep at it. Hey, lawn care leaders, thanks for listening. Wanted to hop in here, let you know that Jobber has launched a new product for $19 a month, giving folks the opportunity at any stage in their business to access software. They understand that entrepreneurs sometimes don't have big crews, and they want to help the folks out by just getting them started. If you're looking to offer a hassle-free customer experience and professional-looking quotes and invoices, then you need and you must check out Jobber. I'm telling you what, from day one, when I was just one guy in a push mower, we hopped on Jobber, changed the game for us. So head on over to getjobber.com/Britt-Dowd. That's BRITT-DOWD. And again, that's getjobber.com. Here we go, back to the show. I want to just leave with you. I'm not going to delve in real deep just because of time. One is work from a place of rest, rest from a place of work. As we get into the season, it's going to be really, really hard to get that rest time and kind of shut down. So I do urge whenever you go home, finally, after a long day's work, whatever that looks like, try to have a buffer between work, getting home. Make sure you kind of shut it down. You walk in the door. Try not to think about everything that you've got to do the next day. I know inevitably you will. You'll be like, okay, I didn't do good this, that. But try to at least have a buffer from when you get home, you know, a couple hours after that, where you can kind of reset. That's important in the beginning, but it's also important on the flip side of that to, so it's work from a place of rest, rest from a place of work. You want to make sure that you're putting in the effort, putting in the time so that you can finally rest. A lot of people find it very, very easy to rest. So they have that part correct, but it's the working portion and it goes in equal balance. So I want to leave you with that. Also, I want to talk about you guys and your unique opportunity with this job. I think one thing that's very unique is you're immediately entrusted with a lot of responsibility and a lot of trust. And with that responsibility and trust, you guys have the ability to take it and turn it into something great, or you have the ability to squander it and be kind of rushed out of here. You get a truck, you get an iPad, you have your own route. You guys are doing sales, marketing, collections, production. Okay, most people, when you come into a company, you're doing one thing. You're like production and maybe a little sales, or you're all sales and you'll help out somewhere else. With this, it's like you're running your own micro business. So I want you guys to have that mindset that
hey, I'm grateful for this. Hey, I have my own truck. It's very easy when you get into the season to forget all that you guys have been entrusted with. So it's freely given, but it's also easy to lose. So keep that in mind. And then also wanted to do fear. I think more often than not, the main thing holding everyone back in this company or from getting a promotion to another job or from something in their personal life is fear. It's fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of being made fun of, fear of somebody looking down on you, fear of what your parents will think, fear of what your spouse will think, and then fear gets you to that point where you're so worried about something that will immobilize you and keep you in the same spot that you're in year after year after year. And it doesn't feel like that because you may be making progress in other areas, but when your head hits the pillow at night, if you're like, man, I'm scared to go door to door, that's gonna hold you back. It's okay to be scared. Everybody's gonna have that fear, but if it immobilizes you and keeps you in that position, that's what's dangerous. So I would say think about that. I'm scared of a lot of things, but I never let fear dictate my actions. I always let my goals and my why dictate my actions, and that helps me overcome the fear. Make sense? Anybody want to add anything or questions, comments before we get into the brunt of the day? All right, cool.
All good.
Cool, cool. You're good?
Yeah.
You're going to jobber it up? Katie and I will do emails, and then we'll just reconnect.
Yeah. Then you have a couple quotes today.
You're going to go with me to the last one. Sean, Nick. Y'all are going, what time is it? Do you know? 10? So it's 8:33, so we need to leave about 9:40 for the quote. So we'll leave here in about an hour, and then Jamie will go to the second one. In between everything, you'll just get, so you need to create a Gmail account. Once you create that Gmail account, text it to me, and I will send you a link and an email to sign up for Jobber. So you can create a username, create a password, all that. Sound good? Hey, lawn care leaders, hope you enjoyed that episode. Really, really fun. As always, enjoyed being with you guys this week. Hope you found some value in that. Want to give a shout out here to Ben in North London, Ontario area. Ben has been engaging with us on some Instagram comments and posts that we did recently last week. And we really appreciate the opportunity, Ben, to add value and get to know you over there. So big things coming for you, and wish you guys all the best in this upcoming season. Also want to remind you guys about Evergrow Marketing, digital marketing agency that specializes in the lawn care niche. If you guys haven't checked them out, go to their Instagram page at Evergrow Marketing, or you can find them online, evergrowmarketing.com. We're using them, been a huge help. I don't have enough time to explain all the ins and outs that they've done for our website and our Google advertisements, but let me just tell you this, what we're paying them, we're getting so much value, I almost feel guilty. So they are definitely way exceeding our expectations, and kind of our mantra of always doing more than you get paid for. They definitely delivered on that. So check out Evergrow Marketing. Great guys, great company, and helping us out a lot this year with our digital marketing. Until next time, keep hustling, keep at it. We'll be with you next week.